There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the next couple of hours, just a week away from Election Day. And a quick reminder, and we'll talk more about this in a second, election night coverage here at FM Talk 106.5, week from tonight at 7. So we'll start at 7 this coming Tuesday. Start at 7 p.m. and go at least till 10. I have a feeling it may be some, might be a long night into an early morning for us. And the same thing is true as we cover severe weather out there. And that's why we bring on our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, with an update on Zeta. Dr. Bill, Zeta is a tropical storm now, or what's the scenario and where is it?
Well, it is a tropical storm, as highest winds of 65 miles per hour, but that's because it was over land for the last several hours over the northern Yucatan Peninsula. But it's now moving out into the Gulf, and we expect tonight that it will intensify. It's moving northwest now at 14 miles per hour, but as it moves over some very warm water now in the southern Gulf, it should intensify and get back into at least a Category 1 hurricane. It looks like that by morning it will be over the west central, let's call it, Gulf of Mexico, and it will turn more to the north, and it should have winds of around 80 to 85 miles per hour. Tomorrow afternoon it will start to turn to the northeast and then make landfall late tomorrow afternoon around 5 to 6 o'clock in the afternoon on the eastern Louisiana coast. There is a possibility it could lose a little bit of strength because the water temperatures are slightly cooler there. And also, we might see some wind shear with the upper-level winds being rather brisk across Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. But that's not a sure thing. It could make landfall with those peak winds of 80 to 85 miles per hour. During the evening of Wednesday, tomorrow evening, the system will move right across southeastern Mississippi, and then after midnight into Thursday morning, it'll be over the interior portions of southwest Alabama. Now, we're going to be on the eastern side, which is where the strongest winds occur, and so we can look for, I guess we call it the rough period, will be from about 10 o'clock tomorrow evening to about 2 a.m. Thursday morning. That's when we expect the highest winds in the Mobile area, and that's when the storm will be tracking across southeastern Mississippi. Now, what about those winds? Well, it'll start to get breezy tomorrow afternoon. I expect the winds out of the southeast at 15 to 20 and gusts of 30. And then tomorrow evening really picks up. Southeast winds at 40 to 50 miles per hour with gusts possibly as high as 70 to 75. That'll be through the evening, especially after 10 o'clock and up to maybe about 2 o'clock in the morning on Thursday. From about 2 o'clock to daybreak on Thursday, it'll gradually decrease. It'll be a southwest wind at 30 to 40 miles per hour with gusts to 60. And then things drop off on Thursday. It'll be clearing in the afternoon. And then that'll be followed by some rather nice weather and cool temperatures on Friday. As for rainfall from this storm, around 2 to 3 inches in our area. That's because that storm's going to be moving rather rapidly. So we won't see it stay around like Sally did and produce those incredibly large rainfall totals. Now, the storm surge could be a problem. We're now looking for 4 to 6 feet for the Alabama coast. Wow. That's up from previous indications of around 3 to 4. And it could even be a little bit higher than that in some little coves along the coast, but generally 4 to possibly 6 feet. And so it's a storm that we need to prepare. We have, of course, today to get ready, and also a good portion of tomorrow. But if you wait for late tomorrow afternoon, then the winds are going to start picking up, and certainly tomorrow evening.
Dr. Bill, I go through a lot of this here with you because, first of all, the storm surge increase there. I mean, you know, I said yesterday we're talking about 4 feet, but at 6 feet, there are people impacted. I mean, that's you know, that's going to put water, you know, maybe up at the base of some homes in some places.
Yeah, it's going to be a little higher, and even higher than that, of course, over in the Mississippi coast. But better plan for about 4 to 6 feet for the Alabama coast and also into Mobile Bay.
Okay.
The question is, could this storm change its track?
That's correct.
We don't expect any drastic change. Sometimes we will see a small little jog to left or right of the track. And that could mean a lot, particularly if that occurs well offshore. It could mean a lot as to actually where it makes its landfall. But right now, everything that I've mentioned is based on a track across southeastern portion of Louisiana and into southeastern Mississippi, and that puts us on the eastern side. And right now, all the models are pretty much lined up to bring the storm along the track that I've just indicated, and then on into southeastern Mississippi.
All right, so to further break this down, if you're talking about winds for Mobile as track now, and like you said, these things could shift, but as track now, winds 70 miles per hour plus for Mobile County, is that correct?
We could see occasional gusts reaching 70 to 75 in Mobile County. Most of the time during that rough period, the winds will be southeast at 40 to 50. That means through the late evening and after midnight.
Okay, so is it that Zeta, is it, because it's not going to be, you know, in other words, the wind field seems like it's very large on this if it goes into the eastern Louisiana coast, but we still push 50, 60 sustained with gust over maybe hurricane force. It seems like a pretty big wind field.
But remember, it's actually moving in a northeasterly direction.
So we'll get that after it starts.
So when it crosses, southeast Louisiana, it's angled to the northeast, which takes it pretty close to our area when it crosses into southeast Mississippi.
Gotcha. Okay. So it wouldn't be, it's not that when it makes landfall, it's when it makes that right turn.
Yeah. And so it's crossing an area of southeast Louisiana that is just marshland.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're looking at it going across the Mississippi Sound, and so it's back over water, and then finally comes into southeast Mississippi. But the strongest winds are on the eastern side, and that puts it right into Alabama.
Yeah, because I'm trying to go back and look, and I don't know. Maybe you have it in front of you. Maybe you don't. What Mobile County's top sustained winds were with Sally? Do you think it was, in maybe not even Dolphin Island, let's come on to the
mainland. Well, we did have a gust over 80 miles an hour out at the airport recorded,
okay.
But there were also gusts of 100 miles per hour down at Dolphin Island. And
so,
there were numerous reports of 100, of course, in Baldwin County.
Okay, so, but within 10 mile per hour, 15 miles per hour of what people might have seen in Sally in Mobile County. Zeta may bring those kind of winds. I'm trying to put it in perspective for folks.
Yeah, it's not quite as strong as Sally, but when you start getting gusts up to 70, 75, that's a lot of tree damage. And also if trees have been weakened by the previous storm, they're going to come down. We will not have a real soaker that occurred over in Baldwin County, where so many trees were uprooted rather than snapping. But we will have some rain with it, but nothing like the double digits that occurred to the east of Mobile.
You know, I keep circling back to these stats, and I love the facts that you give us here, because just, this is anecdotal, but riding around the last day and a half, going by different, I don't know if it's fatigue or people are tuned in for Halloween or what. I don't see the prep going on. I don't feel That doesn't mean everybody's not prepping. It just seems like it. This is significant. This is a significant storm. If this storm was happening beginning of the season, it would be you know, be lines around the corner at any hardware store. But I don't see that right now.
Well, it's coming in fast, and it will go out fast, and we'll track across central and northern Alabama on Thursday, and the gale force winds are going to extend well up into central Alabama because of the rapid forward speed of this storm. So they're going to experience some rough conditions through the central portion of the state, and eventually it'll track right up into the Atlanta area where they will have gusty winds and periods of heavy rain.
I would run through a couple texts here, but I want to go to this one just came in. Okay. Because an unnamed texter here, but what we deal with is facts around here. We're not in the hype business. This person says, because this storm's a joke, it's a rain with a little wind that'll be out of here in an hour.
No, not quite.
There you go. Okay, that's what I think people, it's fatigue or whatever it is, but I think people are not paying as much attention to it. I've got a couple more questions. Will it come in as a Cat 1 or tropical storm?
Well, it's going to be officially a tropical storm once it moves into southeast Louisiana. It will lose some strength, and then, of course, into Mississippi, it will be downgraded to a tropical storm. But the tropical storm winds, sustained winds, are below hurricane force, but you can have some gusts getting up to hurricane force. The basis for the category of a tropical storm is the sustained winds. And they will, of course, be, when it's in southeast Mississippi, sustained winds will be most likely in the 60s, but you can have some higher gusts that can reach a hurricane force.
Talk about southeast Louisiana, then southeast Mississippi. On the text line, D is asking, does that mean two landfalls? Would they be qualified as two landfalls?
That would be two landfalls, actually. Yeah, it would go over southeast Louisiana, then over water a bit, and then another landfall on the Mississippi coast.
Hey, David's asked this question. David said, he'd asked it yesterday, reminded me today, would they retire the name if Zeta was stronger, or just any of the Greek alphabet storms, if they would do a certain amount of damage, would they have those names retired the way the other ones have names retired, the other storms?
Probably not. Of course, we have to wait on this system to see what happens. But even Sally, I don't think that will be retired since it was just it was a Category 2. But we've had some Category 2 storms in the past that have been retired because they produce such massive flooding. And Hurricane Agnes, I believe, back in 1972, that was not a destructive hurricane as far as winds are concerned, but it produced this massive flooding in the eastern states, and that name was retired.
All right, so once again, let's go back through the timeline so people can plan around this from right now going forward to, you know, when the storm is not in our area. What are we expecting today, tonight, tomorrow?
We will have periods of showers developing this afternoon and tonight and also tomorrow morning. But then the showers become more numerous tomorrow afternoon. It becomes gusty in the afternoon. And the real major part of this particular storm is when it moves into southeast Mississippi tomorrow evening. And at that time, you don't want to be outside because we will see strong gales and with gusts possibly to hurricane force at times through the evening and just after midnight into Thursday. And then after that, things gradually slow down and things improve, and with the sun coming out, most likely Thursday afternoon.
Good deal. All right, Dr. Bill, of course, we'll check back with you throughout today, tomorrow, and through the storm as well. And we appreciate the facts you're bringing us, so thank you.
Okay, Sean.
There he is, tropical weather expert, PhD in it, our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams. All right, I got some text to answer when we get back here, so we'll do that next. Y'all stay right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Tuesday, 1 week from Election Day. talk more about that. By the way, the videos for our going through the amendments, putting it in regular people's speak that I can understand, those are going up on our Facebook page. We'll talk more about that, plus election night coverage a week from tonight, starting at 7 o'clock right here at FM Talk 1065. All right, look through some of the texts. And also coming up, Allie Colvin, running for Mobile County District Judge, Place 3. He's going to join me here in just a little bit. We'll talk with him. And there it is, weather update, because I want to read this as I read your text. It's coming in to my email. Let's see. They're talking about my kid's school, if it's going to be close. Because somebody on the text line, let me read through this. So there's a lot of folks, and now you make good points, like Bo and Ben and Brian, that it's not. And when I say that there seems to be fatigue out there, it's not that. I understand. People like Bo are saying, you know, I think it's fatigue, and unless you used up all your hurricane supplies, you're pretty well prepped. Well said, Bo. You know, Brian says it's kind of hard to prepare for another storm when you don't have any more money to spend and only part of your roof on your house, thanks to the insurance companies and mortgage companies dragging their feet, dispersing settlement money. Yeah, and they're going to have a bigger payment to folks with those insurance plans if more water gets in those homes. This texter who had said... said this because the storm's a joke, a rain with a little wind that'll be out of here in an hour. Lived here my whole life and remember all the storms since Frederick. Come on, Sean. I know you like Dr. Bill and weather. Mississippi or Mobile haven't even closed schools. Well, so watch. Watch the schools get closed. And you know what, unnamed texter? I've lived here my whole life, too. Well, actually, I moved here. When I moved here, it's when Frederick hit. I moved here just in time for Frederick as a kid. You want to... play some Gulf Coast Flex on me. Come on and bring it, sport.
Yeah? By the way, the first domino has fallen. Gulf Shore City School's out at noon starting tomorrow.
Okay. I think they will because they got to ensure safety. You don't know if it picks up speed or not. Listen, we don't do panic mode. You can save those kind of texts for TV stations. We've never done that. Dr. Bill wouldn't have it. We don't do panic mode at all. I know over the decade plus of this radio station, the factual and balanced information about storms coming in is coming from us. That's what there's just no other way when you have Dr. Bill. As much as I'd love, hey, Doc, can you hype our coverage for this year? Well, Sean, we'll speak in facts. I'm like, yeah, you're right. We'll do the facts thing. So I'm not here to, this is no panic thing on my part, but it is one. And listen, I'm somebody, I got to get down to Dolphin Island. I got to get back up here. I got to help parents. I got to help in-laws. I got to, help folks get things ready for the storm. And that's, that's just another storm after Sally. But it is a storm that could bring, like Dr. Bill's talking about, gusts of hurricane force winds. So I don't want people to say, no, are we running around and panicking? No. Is this panic mode radio? We don't do that. But is it, hey, heads up, in case you weren't paying attention, this thing could be gusting up in right now on that track, even if it doesn't move further east. It could be gusting to hurricane force winds. So I think it's a fair thing for me to mention. I don't think, don't worry about that. I've been here a long time, too. And I was here through Frederick and all the others. And I'm just saying, it's 75-mile-per-hour winds. You don't tie something down. You don't, you could have some issues. And I'm just trying to save people from those issues. All right. And yes, we will update throughout the afternoon. And of course, tomorrow, another full discussion during the morning show. And then by this time tomorrow, we'll have a lot more to talk about with Dr. Bill, because obviously Zeta will be a lot closer. And, we'll watch that. And I worry about trees. Listen, we got so many trees down just through Mobile from Sally, let alone the real damage that happened in Baldwin County, that those trees that didn't already come down or that have the hanging limbs and all that, you got to set up for more trees and limbs coming down. And what does that mean? It means more power out, more issues. Oh, by the way, too, I looked at, let's see if they canceled this. So coming up tomorrow, one of our guests on the show, we had a guest at the end of last week from FEMA giving us an update on FEMA, and a bunch of y'all appreciated that because that was a FEMA rep that knew a lot more. We've had FEMA reps on before that, we know more than they do about it, but FEMA rep last week answered a lot of questions. I thought that was good. Tomorrow's show, we've got someone booked from the Small Business Administration. We've talked about that. Like, people say, hey, what if I can't pay my premium on my insurance? What if I, or not the premium, but what if I can't pay my deductible on the insurance? Will FEMA help? And FEMA says no, but the Small Business Administration can come in and make low-cost, very low-interest loans for that. They're going to join us to talk about that process if they haven't canceled. I saw two emails come in from SBA, so watch it being a federal thing. They'll cancel the interview because of the storm coming in. But if not, we'll have a representative, Roberto Baltanato, on tomorrow to talk more about that. All right, news is next, and then we're talking Election Day.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday, 1 week out from Election Day. Yeah, and Jace got to it before I did. Well, Jace said on the text line, I have the worst of problems. Tropical Storm Zeta is making me take down all my Halloween inflatables and animatronic headless horsemen, and then I got to put them right back up 12 hours later. So, Jace, I wrote this in my show notes this morning when I was prepping that my procrastination is being rewarded. The brilliance of my procrastination on putting up Halloween decorations is being rewarded because I don't have to worry about it. It was part of my plan. The reason I don't have the decorations up already is the fact that I knew this was going to happen. I didn't want to have, you know, the scary pumpkin monster get blown around the front yard, so they're still inside. I'll put them up after the storm, and it will be perfect. You gotta lift those things and pack them away twice. All right, I want to introduce you all a guest on the show, a name you'll see for Mobile County next week, a week from today, Alan Colvin, who's running for District Court Judge, Mobile County Place 3. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Let's first of all talk about District Court Judge. Okay, what does a District Court Judge do?
Well, District Court Judge handles criminal and civil cases. When they get to work in the morning, their morning docket is going to be criminal cases. They're going to come in. They're going to have arraignments, first of all, where people plead guilty or not guilty. And then in felony cases, they're going to have what's called preliminary hearings, which are probable cause hearings for the judge to determine if there is enough evidence to send those cases to the grand jury. And then those felony cases, you know, if there's enough evidence, the judge sends them to the grand jury. They're indicted by the grand jury, and then they end up in circuit court, and that's where they would have their felony jury trial would be in circuit court. So district court's kind of the lower court.
That then for those felony cases is part of the process, but that felony case is heard in circuit court.
That's right.
Now, you said civil as well.
That's right. Well, and the criminal, in addition to those felony cases where they have preliminary hearings, they also adjudicate misdemeanor cases.
Traffic stuff?
Traffic and small misdemeanor offenses, domestic violence, third degree, or theft, shoplifting, that sort of thing. The things that don't rise to the level of felony cases, those are adjudicated right there in district court.
So the best chance of, not best chance, I want to say it that way, but the chance of somebody interacting with a judge, there's a better chance of it being at a district level than a circuit level.
Yes, absolutely.
So, okay, so that, and then place three, one of the four places, right?
That's correct. But all four of them do the same thing.
And is it geographically determined, or is it for the entirety of the county?
It's the entirety of the county. They're all four elected countywide.
So when you hear place three, I don't want, because people will hear that and go, think about like Mobile County Commission or something like that. It's not geographic.
It is not.
So let's talk about your career to get to the point that you're running for judge. How many years have you been practicing law?
I finished law school in 01. So okay. I passed the bar in fall of 2001. So good, that's deal. About 19 years.
So you've been around a while. What's your practice now? What do you do mostly?
I do mostly personal injury work, plaintiffs representing people against insurance companies, and also criminal defense cases, and mostly in district court.
So you're familiar with that courtroom?
Absolutely.
So what is that? I got just a side note that I want to talk about. But you go in there, you're running for office, and these are people that you've been in front of trying cases in the past. Is that kind of a weird
No, well, the place that I'm running for, the judge is retiring.
Right.
You know, he's aging out, so it's not like I'm running against an incumbent, which is kind of, there's kind of an unwritten rule that you just don't do that.
It'd be bad for you if you lost and you run against it, you know.
That's right. They wouldn't appreciate that very much at all.
Right.
But in the current situation, you know, everybody's very, very professional. There's no issues or anything like that, and nobody at the courthouse or any judges have been, you know, discourteous to me because I'm running for this seat.
Good deal. Because you do wonder about that, right? From the outside looking in, from a, you know, somebody who's not part of that process, you go, well, I wonder what that what they think about that.
Well, you know, I wonder too. But.
All right. Wonder about this too. Running the Democrat for this position in the judicial side of things, you know, we talk about it at a municipal level, like mayoral elections, where it's not supposed to be Republican or Democrat at all. But on the judicial side of things, at this district court level, party politics, is that something that we need in this when deciding a judge?
Probably not. They should probably be elected in nonpartisan elections. But, you know, we state, I mean, this is a state court mm-hmm. position. And so it's just like our appellate courts that are elected statewide, and then our mm-hmm. circuit court judges and district court judges all across the state, they're all elected, in partisan elections. And the problem that we have, you know, if you go back to the late 80s, early 90s, when the Democrats controlled all the appellate court seats in Alabama, where they didn't want to change the method of electing
sure.
judges, and then the Republicans came in and in the late 90s, and they started flipping them, and now they've flipped them all, and they have every single seat, and so now they don't want to change the method of electing judges. So that's what you run into. But generally speaking, you know, judges should not be partisan and should not be elected in a partisan election.
Right. That's one of the things that, I know it's the law of the land. I just like to get opinion on it because I look at it and I think, all right, so the legislative branch, okay, they're going to go in there and they're taking ideas and making changes. That makes sense. Judicial branch, to me, the law is the law. Or is it not?
Well, the law is the law, and you know, and that's a very black and white statement.
Yes.
And that's kind of the perception that I had before I went to law school. I was a math and science type guy.
So you came at it from that study.
I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to go to law school. I'm going to learn the black letter law, and it's going to be a bunch of yes or no answers, and that's all there is to it. But then you go to law school and you figure out, well, there aren't any yes or no answers because you have to have an explanation to go with every yes or no answer that you give because it's just full of all different shades of gray.
Yeah, and that's why judges are part of this process. I mean, if it was just yes or no, probably we could just flip it. The card says
right, and they have a lot of discretion in the things that they do, in the sentences that they issue in cases. They have a wide range of discretion in a lot of cases, and a wide array of discretion in the civil cases and the judgments that they hand down. So it's not just the law is the law.
Right. And so that's why, people say, okay, well, this judge, I mean, not that people say things like this, but they'll be like, oh, you don't want to be in front of this judge, or you do want to be in front of that judge. You've heard things like this before.
Oh, yeah. You'll hear those sorts of things. Yeah. So
let's talk about some of that and some of the, you know, one of the things that people came to me and said, man, you need to get Alan on the show. You need to get him on the show to talk about. And the one thing that came to me is, you know, and I know there's more, we're going to dig into it, but I'm sure you know where we're going, and this decriminalization of marijuana.
Right.
Now, is that the province of the judicial branch, or is that for the legislative branch?
Well, generally for the legislative branch, but there's kind of a unique issue,
okay.
A couple of different things when you talk about a judge.
Because decriminalization doesn't mean making it legal.
It means giving people a ticket, instead of arresting.
It's still illegal, but it's how it's enforced. Am I correct?
That's right. Decriminalization generally means, you know, you get a ticket for it,
okay.
And you could go online and pay your ticket. You're not going to get arrested handcuffed, taken down to the jail, booked, right. given a court date, have to hire a lawyer, show up, and be facing a potential jail sentence.
So it's still, because the judicial branch can't change the law. The law would still say that it was illegal. But
that's
the,
right.
But the process of what the judge would decide goes with that.
Right. But they, but you know, once again, you know, there's they have a wide range of discretion in those right. cases, because if you look at the sentencing for misdemeanor marijuana, misdemeanor possession of marijuana, you're talking about under the Alabama law, you could be sentenced to up to a year in jail or up to a fine of $6,000, mm-hmm. but there's no mandatory minimum. A judge could essentially say, you know, if you've been cuffed and taken down and booked into jail and had to bond out, well, time served. You know, okay. a judge could essentially say that, and that would be a lawful sentence under Alabama law.
Gotcha.
But then, and that's just kind of one aspect. It, you know, there's a unique aspect to it, and it goes back to, in 2017, the Stimson administration. You probably remember this because you're in tune to everything that's going on in local government. But there was talk of an ordinance that was proposed that would have taken a lot of petty offenses and changed them to from arrestable offenses to ticketed offenses.
Yeah.
And one of those
made sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. And one of those was misdemeanor possession of marijuana. And what they ran into is they could not do that. No municipality within the state can change an arrestable offense that's on the books to a ticketed offense unless they get the permission of the Alabama Supreme Court. And that's under a rule of judicial administration that's issued by the Alabama Supreme Court. And
but it could be changed by the Alabama Supreme Court.
That's right. And under the rules, the if a municipality wants to do that, then a majority of the district court judges in that county are the ones who are charged with the responsibility under the rule of making that request to the Alabama Supreme Court.
Okay. So, I mean, and that you can make the request. That doesn't mean they're going to agree, but the first step has to be
that's right
making the request.
That's right.
Yeah, and if people don't remember what we're talking about, and if just joining us, Alan Colvin, running for district court judge place 3, we're talking about this. We talked about it on the show a good bit, the idea, and basically you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought it made sense, because if you put somebody in jail for this petty offense, then they're in jail, they got those costs, they're not at work, they could lose the job. The idea is they're got a better chance of having them make restitution, right, and pay whatever kind of fines if they can go to work and do those things. Is that close to
that's one good reason,
you know, that
yeah.
just almost pragmatically, not even idealistically, hey, if we're going to get fines paid,
right,
hey, we're going to have people not lose their jobs and be in a bad situation for these petty offenses, keeping them out of jail helps.
Absolutely. And then you have the statements from Mayor Stimson, and if you go back and look at the old news articles, that it's basically a waste of our law enforcement resources that could be used to fight more serious crime in our communities. And, you know, he made some really good points in his public comments that are in those old articles to that effect, and that's, you know, another good reason.
So so it's not just the one that's getting attention, of course, is the decriminalization of marijuana, but you would be a supporter of that for many petty crimes.
Well,
am I wrong?
Well, of course, on a case by case basis, you know, depending on what they are.
There's the gray.
You know, that's right. There's the gray. I guess I have a real issue with offenses where, you know, I take offenses seriously where people are doing things that impact their fellow citizens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we need to take those kind of things seriously. So if you're doing something that's harming your fellow citizens in some way, then I don't think we need to just say, oh, that's a petty crime. We need to address that in some way.
Right. But something that is they'll say there's no such thing as a crime that doesn't affect other people. But I think in a lot of cases, you can argue there is.
Right. Yeah, and I'm thinking, I'm talking more direct effect.
Right. There's a bunch of people want to get in on this about this. So once again, I want to circle back to what we said before we go to the break here. And that is that this is not, you're not changing the law in Alabama. That's not what's done here. You're talking about the sentencing here and the decriminalization, which still means it's illegal. It's just how it's sentenced. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Right. So
I do think we need local elected officials that are willing to speak up and speak out on this issue. And
you'd have to have a majority if you wanted to.
Yeah, but I think we need local elected officials that are willing to talk about this issue and push for change from the ground up, because I do think we do need change in Montgomery on this issue. And if we just sit back and wait for them to make these changes, then, you know, it's not going to get done.
Alabama will be the last state in the union for that to happen. That's my prediction. Coming right back, Alan Colvin, our guest right here on Midday Mobile.
Hey! Yeah.
Yeah. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. And for folks in Mobile County, this is a name you'll see on the ballot on Tuesday. Which, by the way, if you go to our Facebook page, too, we're posting up the Sullivanese, the regular people amendments, statewide amendments and local as well. You know, we go through these every time. And even though they said they made them better and more understandable as written, they had a long way to go. So we go through the amendments and kind of tell you what, if you vote yes, it means this. If you vote no, it means this. All right. Also discussing a lot here with Alan Colvin. He's going to be on the ballot running for district court judge, Mobile County Place 3. And we learned, too, that not geography. There's four places. It's for the whole county.
That's exactly right.
I mean, because I think that could be people like, am I in, you know, place 3? No, we're all in place. If you're in Mobile County, it's we're all in place.
If you live and vote in Mobile County, our race will be on your ballot.
Looking at a lot of text here when I talk about this subject. I'm reading this off the text line. No, you're not the guy who called the governor Meemaw.
I am not.
Right. But he said, if so, he's got both of my votes. this discussion, and this is one we've had a lot on the show, and people want to talk about this. So the marijuana situation here, the state of Alabama, I believe, will be, if not the last, the second or third to last state in the union to legalize marijuana. That's
what everybody says, Sean.
Yeah. I'm taking the easy road there. But what you're saying is not... Because through the judicial branch, you're not changing the law, but you're changing how it's sentenced.
And what
possession level, too? Are you, as a judge, would it be they have X number of grams or ounces or whatever you figure here, or is there a cutoff?
Well, there is no cutoff in Alabama for the amount.
Because somebody said that one seed.
Well, if for personal use is considered a misdemeanor. If it's anything other than for personal use, then it's a felony. Okay. In Alabama. And now you have an amount. If it's over 2.2 pounds, then you're going to be charged with trafficking, which is going to be a high, even higher level felony.
Okay.
So,
but you got to prove that somebody under that amount, you got to prove that they're trying to distribute it, right? I mean, because you have those big amounts, and I don't know if you look at on Instagram, Mike Tyson and those guys, I don't know, they said they smoked pounds of it or something in a day. Somebody comes in front of you, is that the gray area where you're making a decision, go, I believe this person had that for themselves, or they were a dealer? And
well,
why is it worse? I mean, the individual's not getting it. They're not legally growing it in the state. They got to get it from somewhere.
Well, sometimes the police, they're going to charge it, or, you know, the prosecution, they're going to charge it as more than personal use. You know, it might be based on the amount. It might be based on the way that it's packaged. It might be because they have a scale.
Okay.
Or they have a bunch of Ziploc baggies, you know.
So these things
so,
make
yeah,
you think.
Yeah, different types of things that they will use to prosecute for, you know, other than personal use and make it a felony. And it can also be a felony if you have a prior misdemeanor conviction. So if you have a misdemeanor conviction for misdemeanor possession of marijuana in Alabama and you get another misdemeanor charge, that can be elevated to a felony based on the fact that you've already had one misdemeanor conviction.
Two strikes, you're a felon?
That's right.
So, if you're a judge and you sentence these decriminalization sentences, would that still exist if they came before you, right, mm-hmm. and said, okay, well, we're going to decriminalize this, it's going to be a ticket and this and that, would that count then if they got another misdemeanor possession? Or
that's a very good question, Sean, and that would be a place where you would the discretion of our law enforcement apparatus in the county would come into play. You know, is that something that they would want to do? I think under the law they would be able to, if that ticket that they go and pay online, if that counts as a conviction for misdemeanor possession of marijuana, even though all they had to do was pay a fine, and under the law their next one could be charged as a felony. Well, that would come down to, you know, what's the...
It's a huge jump.
Right.
Somebody went, paid a ticket the first time, and next time they, in a courtroom, they're looking at a felony.
Right. And this is hypothetical, because sure, that's not the situation that we have now, right, but that is a good question and something that I've thought about. And I think that would come down to, you know, like I say, how our law enforcement apparatus in the county and in the city wants to exercise their discretion in those cases, if we get to that point.
There's a lot of people have a lot of questions for you, so better yet, let me talk, give you a second here before we wind up the hour. Where do they go to get more information about your campaign?
Go to BigAlForJudge.com, and, you know, that's kind of that's an old nickname. Well, my college buddies still call me that, and we use that in the campaign, so you can look for Big Al on the ballot as well.
He's not in the costume.
That's right. But, yeah, go to BigAlForJudge.com. You can find, that's our website, and you can find our social media pages. We've got some social media icons. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and you can find us, connect to those through our website and find us there and check out our content. And if you have any questions or anything like that, want to ask us about something, feel free to send us a message.
Very good. Y'all check it out. Alan Colvin, thank you for being here.
All right. Thank you for having me, Sean.
All right. Coming back next hour, lots to talk about. Maybe take it to the bayou, that story that I've been working off Land Yaps reporting now for about a month and something, what happened in Bala Battery with the housing board. We'll talk more about that coming up. And in addition, we will get another update on Zeta. Is it a tropical storm still? Is it a hurricane? We'll get an update on that. And also a more in-depth dive on the amendments. We're up to Amendment 4 now. We'll look at those statewide amendments as well. Y'all stay right there.